Today's scripture reading will be from Luke chapter 23, verse 32 through 38. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are saying or they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." Second reading from Matthew 6, 14 to 15. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This is the word of the Lord.
Before we hear God's message for all of us this morning, I invite you to pray with me. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you speak to us today as you've done through centuries, that your word is as relevant to us this morning as it's ever been. And as we gather on this first Sunday in Lent and contemplate the life and the sacrifice of your Son Jesus, I pray that we will take this journey seriously, that we will truly invite you to help us grow in our relationship with you and in our faith over these next weeks as we journey toward Holy Week and also the joy of Easter Sunday. So I pray for your Spirit to open our hearts and our minds this very moment so we can be receptive. God, we are here to listen, and we invite you to speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So for the season of Lent, we're going to focus on Jesus' last words from the cross, words of love that he spoke as he was hanging there on the cross. And the first word from Jesus' dying lips is a pardoning word in the form of a prayer. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they are doing. And I'm asking myself, what kind of love is this? A love that pardons the persecutor. A love that forgives the one who injures you, even as the person is inflicting the injury. That makes peace with the enemy while the battle rages on. I mean, what kind of wondrous love is this? And I think it's the kind of love that the world does not know. It's the kind of forgiveness and pardon that we simply cannot speak. It's something only the suffering servant Son of God can pray. It's the kind of word that Jesus can speak, the one who came to give his life as a ransom to many. Even as the hammer blows drive the nails through his flesh into the wood, Jesus is heaven-bent, not on revenge, but forgiveness. Remember, he taught his disciples to pray as though forgiveness depended on them, what we now call the Lord's Prayer. He said in Matthew 6, pray then in this way, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us for our sins, God, just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And he even underscored this petition because he wanted to make sure they got what he was saying. And so he says in verse 14, yes, if you forgive others for their sins, your Father in heaven will also forgive you for your sins. But if you don't forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive you your sins. So think about that just for a moment when you think about forgiveness in your own life. Another time, Peter, you know, one of the disciples, thought he was very, very gracious, you know, and generous when he asked Jesus, Lord, if someone sins against me, how many times should I forgive that person? Like seven times? Have you ever said that to yourself, by the way? Really? How many times? How many times must I forgive this person? And Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. In other words, there's no limit here, Peter. You should forgive every time. So he told them a story of a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. And as he got underway, one servant was brought before him who had run up a debt of $100,000. And he couldn't pay up. And so the king ordered the man to be auctioned off at the slave market to pay for his debt. But the poor guy threw himself at the king's feet and begged, give me a chance. Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back. And the king was touched by his plea, and he let him off. He simply erased all of his debt. And so then shortly after that, this guy runs into one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. $10. And he seized him by the throat, and he demanded, pay up and do it now. And this poor guy begged him, give me a chance, and I'll pay it all back. But he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. And so when the other servants saw this going on, they were outraged and brought a detailed report to the king. And the king summoned the man and said, you evil servant, I forgave your entire debt, $100,000, when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy? And the king was furious and put the screws to the man until he paid back his entire debt. And then Jesus said, and that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who does not forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. You see, because God simply writes off our debt, $100,000, by what Jesus paid for us, forgiveness is never merely an option for someone who follows Christ. And yet us humans who have turned away from God, have become corrupted, we really want nothing whatsoever to do with forgiveness, letting go of that $10, do we? Instead of speaking a pardoning word, we are quick to condemn. We're slow to forgive. We like to hold on to long, long grudges. We seek our pound of flesh. We want to get even. and settle the score. We don't want to let go. It's our natural response. But that's what forgiveness means at its core. Forgiveness is to let it go, to leave it be. Forgiveness is pulling the plug on your anger or your desire to get even. Literally dropping dead to the thing as though it had never happened. Forgiveness renders something completely powerless. But we do not naturally do this. No, instead we are natural born bookkeepers of the wrongs committed against us. And we think there's power to control here, by the way. We store our grievances up for another day when they might actually become useful. For those days when we get energized by the accusing words of always and never. You always do this. And you never do that. So we learn to nurse the wrongs committed against us like a pet, even long after we have forgotten the offense. I'm not speaking to him. I don't exactly remember what he did to me, but I'm not speaking to him. Oh, I will never forgive her. Never. I don't remember exactly what she did, or I do remember what she did well, but I know I will never forgive her. You know what the sad thing is? The sad thing is that unforgiveness hardens our hearts. That's what's making it so spiritually toxic and debilitating. Your heart, you know, that is softened and opened to God's forgiveness, becomes calloused and calcified in unforgiveness. And that is why Jesus is so hard-pressed to make forgiveness a key petition in the prayer life of his followers. Forgive us as we forgive. So what I want to say to you today is keep the channels of forgiveness open. Keep it open both vertically and horizontally. Because the forgiveness you speak is the forgiveness God has spoken to you. The forgiveness he speaks to you every Sunday in the words of assurance after the prayer of confession, like he did again this morning. Because you see, forgiveness doesn't start with you, it starts with God. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Before you even knew God, he loved you enough to offer his son as a sacrifice for your sins. And that's why we must be conduits. We need to be like pipelines of forgiveness. We direct that forgiveness to others where they have sinned against us. But the forgiveness comes from God. For only God can set a heart free to forgive. And you know what's truly remarkable? It's that Jesus said all our sins will be forgiven. And every blasphemy we utter against him will be forgiven. I mean, who is this that is so bent to forgive? Do you know who he is? He's the Son of Man. He's God's Son. He is humanity restored to the image of God. He's the one who reflects God's perfect forgiving love to the world in our human flesh. He's the perfect forgiver. The absolver par excellence. He's the one who came to forgive us our sins, even the sins committed against him. And as they nailed Jesus to the wood of his cross and stood it upright in the ground with a convicted criminal on either side, he speaks that first word of life. He speaks a pardoning word of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Even as they gamble for his garments, even as those passing by mock him and offer him sour wine to drink, he forgives them. Every sin, every blasphemy against him, he forgives. He's speaking those words to you as well. He forgives you, your sins against him, in all the ways you drive those nails into his hands and feet. He prays to the Father, and the prayer is for you as well. And I want you to hear it as a prayer for you. This very moment, Jesus is pleading for you before the throne of grace. He shows the Father the wounds of his own crucifixion that bears your sin and my sin. And he says, Father, forgive them, because they have no idea what they are doing. And to be honest, we don't know what we're doing, do we? We have no idea of the damage we do to others and the damage we do to ourselves. We have only a small inkling of our own sinfulness, and even that we manage to rationalize away because our deadness runs so deep, we even think we're doing God a favor when we pound away at our fellow human beings. And this word keeps coming back to us against the background of those cruel hammer blows and mockery and scorn. Father, forgive them. It's a beautiful melody played against the cacophony of this world. The singing of a new song against the devil's lie and the old song of our sin. The words of pardon we hear every week. In the name of Jesus, we are forgiven. And Jesus insists on it. He demands it. He petitions the Father for it, and the Father always gives the Son what he asks for. And the world is forgiven because Jesus prays for it to be forgiven. And he prays for it through the blood of his sacrifice. He looks at our humanity, to our fellow human, inhumanity to our fellow human beings, our killing fields and our genocides and our needless brutal wars and the atrocities in our streets and the ways we hurt and harm our neighbor. And he prays, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. For they don't know what they are doing. So this pardoning prayer reconciles. It makes whole again. It restores the enemy. What Adam did, this Adam has undone. We're reconciled with God and we're at peace in Jesus. In his body, he carries the sin. From his mouth, he speaks the pardoning word that delivers forgiveness. So I want you to remember today that you've been baptized into this pardoning word. These words of forgiveness that wash away your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness that God freely gives to you. Forgiveness that you freely receive through faith. Forgiveness that you need to freely distribute in love. The same forgiveness that flows from the heart of Jesus flows through your forgiven heart. And it sets you free to forgive those who sin against you with the same prayer, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. So who is it that you need to forgive? Is it a child? Is it a parent? Is it a friend? Is it a church member? Do you need to forgive yourself for something you did or failed to do? What if someone says to you, please, please, please forgive me for what I did or how I treated you? Are you able to extend them that forgiveness? Can you let it go and move on? What hurt do you need to let go of? Not just for their sake, but for your own sake. And who do you need to ask for forgiveness? God? Some family member or friend that you sinned against or hurt with your actions or your words? To whom do you need to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You see, this first pardoning word sets the stage for all of Jesus' other words. It unbars the door. It turns the key to the prison. You are free precisely because you are forgiven. So simply say, Jesus, for your pardoning word, for forgiving those who tortured you, for forgiving us who have sinned against you, for forgiving a world that knew you not but wished you dead, for forgiving me and all my sins, for the gift of forgiveness, I give you thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. God, you are merciful. You are gracious. You are slow to get angry. You abound in steadfast love. Your Son gave himself for the sake of our sins. May we never, ever take that for granted. Thank you. Thank you for forgiveness in his name. Thank you for the pardoning word that he spoke from the cross, that he speaks to us whenever we approach you in his name. We thank you and we praise you. Amen.